Thank you. Let's once again ask God's blessing as his word is preached. Father, it's so wonderful to see from your word how the everlasting nature of that ordinance you gave to your ancient people is so powerfully and wonderfully and fully fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. There is no more need for lambs to be sacrificed, for any sacrifices at all. For as we heard this morning when we were called to worship, by himself, he purged our sins. He did it once for all. Father, we rejoice in the wonder of Calvary's cross, and we pray that you would open our eyes now to see even more of its wonder. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Sir Fred Hoyle was a 20th century English astronomer. He died actually a few weeks before 9/11, died in August 2001. And he was a fellow of Britain's prestigious scientific institution, the Royal Society. Mr. Hoyle was a bit controversial, at least in the eyes of his colleagues, some of them, because he didn't go along with the Big Bang Theory, which is very interesting because it was a term that Fred Hoyle himself had coined on BBC Radio, but he didn't believe it. Whether or not he believed in the true account of the origin of the cosmos, I don't know, but he did say this. I want to read a quote from Mr. Fred Hoyle, this well-known, very intelligent scientist. He said, "There is a coherent plan in the universe, though I don't know what it is a plan for." What sad words. Let me read it again. He said, "There is a coherent plan in the universe, though I don't know what it is a plan for." Well, Mr. Hoyle, God has the answer. For anyone here who might have the same ignorance of the ultimate purpose of all things in his or her heart, know that God's word declares the answer. And for those of you who love someone burdened with that ignorance, that burdened even a great mind like that of Mr. Hoyle, God has given you the answer you can share with that loved one. And one place where that grand divine purpose is simply and succinctly stated in the Bible is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where we read that God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. I read Mr. Hoyle's doubtful and wondering question twice. Let me read God's answer twice. God made known to us, it's known, the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan. There is a plan for the cosmos, for the universe, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, that is Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. This statement by the Holy Spirit about the divine plan for the unification in Christ of the universe, all things in heaven and on earth, reveals that there is a disunity that needs to be corrected. There is a great gulf that needs to be bridged. There is a great alienation that needs to be reconciled. And there is a great weight of guilt for which divine justice, that holy, rigorous justice of God, demands satisfaction. And all of that is true because an originally peaceful, pure, happy, and unified universe was torn apart by the entrance of sin. When our first parents disobeyed God, when Adam, our representative before God, he stood in the place of the whole human race, and when he sinned against God, disobeying that direct commandment, he plunged the entire human race into that state of alienation, guilt, and corruption. The Bible says that the whole creation was subject to futility as a result of that. Death is not a natural thing. Death came into the world by sin. But that most sorrowful of all historical events did not take by surprise the all-wise God. His plan that he has made known to us was already in place, and it centered in Christ, the Lamb of God, the true and final Lamb of the Passover, the Lamb of God. And so I want to consider briefly these 7 points. The Lamb appointed in eternity, the Lamb promised and prefigured, the Lamb's spotless purity, the Lamb manifested, the Lamb slain, the Lamb standing, and finally, the Lion reigning. This Lamb of God was appointed in all eternity, before the worlds were. 1 Peter 1:20 says, "He indeed, the Lord Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We know the very familiar words in the beginning of John's gospel that declare that the Word was in the beginning with God and he was God. In God's plan, the person of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a person of infinite value because he is God. And though he is truly a man, his deity, his divine nature imparts to that sacrifice infinite value. The blood of Christ is able to satisfy God's justice for a multitude that no man can number. And so, in this great plan of God, the Lamb was appointed in eternity. And then, as history began to unfold, right at the beginning, right after that dread day when sin and death came into the world, God began to tell us that there was hope, that there was a Savior coming, that this foreordained Lamb was going to someday appear in God's world. And so in Genesis 3:15, we have that first promise about the seed of the woman who was to come and crush the serpent's head. We have Abraham almost sacrificing his son Isaac, and at the end, God staying his hand, and Abraham proclaiming, "God will provide the Lamb." And we have all that vast amount of Old Testament information about the Levitical sacrifices and the priesthood, all of these things pointing ahead to Christ, for the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. And so the Lamb who was foreordained in all eternity was promised and prefigured throughout history. And then he finally did come. He was born of a virgin. One thing that we see in all that we read in the older covenant about the sacrifices is what? They had to be spotless and pure. Our Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin and therefore not a partaker of the sin and corruption that all the rest of us inherit through Adam, our first representative before God. He did not partake of that. And the Bible teaches in various ways, in many places, that the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. He never had one thought of sin. He never spoke one word of sin. For every single moment of his life, he loved his Father with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. What we only can long to do, he did perfectly. He was the spotless Lamb, the Lamb of God. And so the time came when he was about 30 years of age for him to be manifested, made known to Israel. And his forerunner, John, came and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then the Lamb was slain. And that's what we're remembering this evening in a special way. And so I want to read once again from God's Word one of the gospel accounts of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. It's also printed on the back of your bulletin, John chapter 19, verse 14 through verse 22. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he, that is Pilate, said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Well, no movie, no artwork can tell us what this means. It can perhaps show us the brutality of what our Savior endured for us physically, but it can't show us what was going on in the spiritual realm as that great plan of God for the summing up of all things in Christ, for reuniting heaven and earth, for bridging that gulf, for getting rid of the alienation, for propitiating, satisfying that wrath of God. That can only come as we understand the meaning of what was happening on that cross. Here is the fulcrum, so to speak, of that plan. Here is where it all comes together, where it all focuses. When the Son of God hung on that cross, and when he died and said, "It is finished." Well, what was finished? The working out of God's plan to satisfy his justice, take away the alienation, and bridge the gulf. Jesus Christ on that cross bore the full weight of the wrath of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Can we really in any way enter into the depth of what is being said there by the Son of God? Forsaken by his Father. And why? Because he loved unworthy sinners. Loved them so much that he was willing to lay down his life on their behalf. Death by crucifixion is a form of hanging. And according to the law, it was a definite curse. As Paul the Apostle writes to the Galatians, citing the book of Deuteronomy, he says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" There we see the plan of God. The one who had no reason to be cursed in himself, nevertheless, became a curse. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We who believe in this Lamb of God who was appointed, who was promised and prefigured, who was of spotless purity, who in the fullness of time was made manifest, and now who was slain, not for his own sin, but for the sins of his loved ones. Now here's the problem, we might say, with Good Friday. It's not the end. It doesn't end there, although Jesus, when he said, "It is finished," he spoke truly that the sacrifice was complete. We have to look forward to 3 days later when he rose from the dead and God put the stamp of approval on that sacrifice. God said, we might say, "Yes, it is finished. Death can no longer hold him." And so he rises from the dead, having accomplished the redemption of his people, having brought together heaven and earth once again, broken down the dividing wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, opened the way of salvation to all the nations of the earth, bringing the blessing of Abraham to fruition. And so we see the Lamb standing. That very Lamb who was slain is pictured in the revelation of John now as standing here. God's word from Revelation 5. "One of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth." John sees in a vision, he sees Christ who had been slain now standing. Christ is the one who sends the Holy Spirit throughout the earth. the lamb as if it had been slain. But wait, what did that elder say at the beginning about a lion? That lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered, who has prevailed to open the scroll, to make known the great plan of God that was conceived from all eternity and the divine mind and plan. He sees him also as a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah is the lamb. And that's where we are today. The lamb is the lion who is reigning. He has conquered death. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All power in heaven and earth has been given to him. And so as we remember his death, let's also look ahead to what we will be celebrating on the Lord's Day, indeed as we do every Lord's Day, his resurrection, as God began to raise the one who counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but had made himself of no reputation and died a curse for us, as he then rose to reign. May we thus think about what this day means and what we remember. The great plan of God centered in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making known to us that mystery. Wise men of the world look at your universe and they see what creation can reveal to them and they wonder. But you have given your people the answer. You have shown us your great purpose. And it all centers in Jesus. It all comes down to that day long ago when the Son of God hung on a tree, being made a curse, so that we who believe, who trust in that sacrifice, might have eternal life, and that we might follow him. Lord, seal your word to our hearts. Make us to treasure our Savior more than ever, to love him in return for his unfathomable love with which he loved us. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 253 in the Trinity hymnal, There Is a Fountain. Will you stand with me to sing?